You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams. Break in day, we'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
like and everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody manufactured
this. The hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives. Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Well, the party they gonna have out in the same kind of falls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Off the hook, brother.
It was simultaneous horns there, Tom.
That's called echo horns, huh?
Yeah. Hey, Tom. One short announcement just happened as we started the show. Jody, as you know, had knee surgery a week ago, and Jody will not be with us tonight. She's sort of kind of knocked out with painkillers right now, but she'd like to be on next week. Her her friend called just for her in her stead. So just to let you know that ahead of time here.
Well, that's totally understandable. Listen, everybody has some trials and tribulations that we all have to go through, and we honor and respect them. And we hope that she has a speedy recovery. And our prayers go out to her. Why, I got to tell you, you know, I don't know if you guys have heard about that. There's one dead and two injured in Montana from the bear attack. It was in Helena, Montana, Helena, or whatever you want to call it. Wow. One of these bears just ravaged, went through a rampage and heavily occupied campground near Yellowstone National Park in the middle of the night, killing one person and injuring two others during a terrifying attack, forced the people to hide in their cars, and as the animal flew through the tents and everything else. My God, our fam, you know, our condolences go out to the family of the one that was lost, and speedy recovery on the people who had problems up there with. They aren't doing too well.
Hey, but, Tom.
Yes.
I was at Yellowstone. A car ain't even very good protection from a bear.
Yeah, well, you know the thing that bothers me,
yeah.
And it just kills me, okay?
Yeah.
Is all these people all think that, oh, isn't that a pretty little bear?
Right.
Look at that. Isn't that, he's just so adorable. And, you know, they'll go and look for food even to give him, you know. And
right.
The thing that they don't understand is you've got, they're a wild animal, folks.
Yeah, don't
These things
me.
Are not tamed. Even the ones that are tamed that were brought up as youngsters, as babies, you've got to understand something. They still have those wild instincts. And don't go and think that, oh, my God, you know, that oh, they're so cute. Remember Siegfried and Roy down in Vegas, folks? Remember that these things were brought up as babies by this guy. He did nothing but love these things and give them whatever he could. And next thing you know, after all those years, the thing turned on him, attacked him. You know, thank God he's around to talk about it. But folks, let me tell you, it's not as easy as it looks. You'll see us out in the brush. You're going to be seeing us on TV pretty soon. The thing you've got to understand is be very, very careful. All these animals are wild. Okay? They look good. They look beautiful and all that. But my God, you've got to be so careful. Okay? So be very, very careful, and especially now. This is the height of tourist season, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure that when you're out there, you know, have that bear spray. You know, I don't know what it costs today. When I was buying bear spray, it was, Jesus, it had to be $30, $39. I don't know what it is today, but you know what? A canister of bear spray is the best prevention than you can think of. Let me give you some other good hints, too, which you should know this if you're going to go out into this type of terrain and country. A bear will never attack anything that's bigger than it. Don't ever forget what I just told you, okay? There's the old thing, if you get charged by a bear, it's a mock charge and everything, and if you had two people with you, if you get get one of the people on your shoulders, I'm telling you, that's bigger than them when they stand up, okay? In most cases, anyway, that I know of. And they will not attack something that's bigger than them in reality. They'd rather go away from any type of confrontation, okay? And the other thing is that if you are attacked by a bear, you know, get up into the fetal position. I know it's easy to say by just talking about it on the radio, but you just play dead with these things, and you just might just get mauled a few times. But that'll be getting chewed up and eaten, believe me, because these things they'll tear you apart. You know what was it? A couple of years back on that I forget that guy's name, and he talked about how he lived with the grizzlies. Okay, I know you guys know what I'm talking about, and he made such beautiful movies and everything else. Then all of a sudden, nobody heard from him. And then him and his girlfriend were both eaten up. Both eaten up. Think about that, okay? So, you know, I don't want to ruin your vacations this year. Go to Yosemite, go to all Yellowstone National Parks and all that kind of stuff. See all the beautiful things that nature has to provide for us. But respect it, ladies and gentlemen. The moral of this story is respect these creatures. They're God's creatures, but they're wild. Remember that. They are wild creatures, okay? They don't have those big canines, those big teeth, and those big claws just to look pretty. Same thing with the mountain lions. So and the cougars. Just be very careful, that's all. You know, when we're out there in the brush, we're out there for a reason, okay? And most of the time, these things know that we're there, and they leave us alone, okay, as we leave them alone, okay? But you got to understand, there's a lot of people out there that go out there and say, oh, and then they throw a rock at it, or they'll throw a stick at it, or stuff like that. Just be humble. Be yourself. Be you. You don't need to go through that. You don't need the aggravation, folks. Remember, one dead, two injured. Let's just pray for them all, and our condolences go out to the fallen victim, and goes from the bottom of our hearts. You know, I'll tell you, Marco, it's a sad thing to see things like this going on. It really is.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? It just really is, and you have to be so, so careful, okay? You know, it's, and the only reason why I'm even taking any time is because, you know, it's out in the areas that we go, and people don't understand that, okay? You know, we use, as much as we've been out in the brush, you know, a lot of our guys, one, as a matter of fact, is paranoid as hell, is Don Monroe, and he'll tell you he can't stand to be around snakes, and he's paranoid. But, like, when we're out there in Paris, Texas, man, we have Bruce Shupe. He's the snake man. And this guy, you should see when he gets suited up, ladies and gentlemen. He wears that, what do you call that tube stuff, Marco?
I'm not sure.
Well, it's tube stuff that, you know, you put underground.
Yeah.
Like, for pipe, but it ain't pipe.
Right.
What's it called?
I can't remember the name either.
Okay. But anyhow, he cuts a line through it. And he puts it around his from his ankles all the way up to his knees, and it's pretty smart. What is it?
PVC pipe.
Yeah, PVC or PCB. Yeah, that's it. PVC pipe, and it's amazing stuff, ladies and gentlemen. You know, you just go to Home Depot or Lowe's or what have you, and just cut a line straight down lengthwise. Make sure it goes from your ankle to the thing, and make sure its diameter is big enough to get around your calves and stuff. And when I saw that, I said, wow, man, I said, that is really great. And he'd go out and clear the area with us. In our day, when we did it in the early 70s, we didn't think of any of that. I don't even know if they had any of that PCB valve. But I'll tell you this, we used to wrap our ankles with burlap sack. You know, they had potatoes in back in them days. I don't even know if they still do that today. But we used to take two burlap sacks on each leg, ladies and gentlemen, and put them around our legs, because when the snake would go to bite us, they didn't like the feel of that in their mouth, number one, and they wouldn't inject the fangs that would give you the venom, okay, and they'd get off real quick. But even if they did, it was thick enough around your calves and ankles that it wouldn't get into your skin and break the skin, is what I'm trying to say. Another thing was, we used to use cougar urine, ladies and gentlemen, put it on cotton balls and put it in our shoelaces at the time to mask our smell. Now they've got scent smell and all that stuff. You know, this is 2010. But I'm talking about, gosh, you know, 37 years ago. It was a lot different, you know, 38, 40 years ago. This was the primitive stuff. Like I tell everybody, back in our day when we started, we had a sharp stick and a flashlight. But I just like to give you little memorandums now and then of what it was like back in my day when I started. It was really, really different. Really different. You know, I got to tell you, Marco, I have been going a mile a minute, as you know, because you know what's coming down the pike for us. And
yep.
I'm thinking to myself, my gosh, I'm traveling all over, and I haven't had much rest. I got to tell you that. I've been very tired, ladies and gentlemen. But nevertheless, you're a priority in my life and in Marco's life. Marco had some MRI tests this morning for 4 hours, but here he's back on the air. He's doing it for me, himself, and for you. Don't ever forget that. The man has got perseverance and stamina. Let's get out to some shout-outs. Is that okay with you, partner?
By all means. Friends and family.
Yeah, they mean an awful lot to us. Of course, our prayers go out to AK out there on the Apache Reservation. TJ, I hope you're getting better too, son. And Steve Dismore. You know, these guys are a part of our life. They've been a part of our life. They are our family. And sometimes things bestow everyone. But at the same point in time, we know that they're going to be okay with our prayers and our thoughts going out. And my gosh, they're out there all over this globe. I want to say hello to Kerry Kimball out there in Lockport, Louisiana. Thank you for the order, Kerry. It was nice of you. Hank Rutledge out there in Eldridge, Alabama. Thank you for the DVD order. Mary McAllister in Sweowa. Thank you for the kind words, Mary. Clarence Tom, not Tom Clarence, but Clarence Tom in Gallup, New Mexico. Thank you for the DVD order, Clarence. Pete Sanders, Southern California. He says to me, Tom, he says, I saw your DVD and I've seen the others. You outshine them all. You tell it like a T-I-Z, son. Thank you so much, Pete. Ed Farrell up in Alaska.
Hey,
man. You are the man. Terry Stewart. Terry says, hey, Tom, I'm up here in Washington. He says, I got a chance to see the DVD. Incredible. Just incredible. Jimmy Snell out there in Mass. How you doing, son? Stop being so busy, man. I understand you're doing a great job. Keep it up. Todd Calvert out there in Southern Cal. Get well soon, buddy. Megan Barone out there in Harbor, Washington. She says, you know what, Tom? I finally got a chance to see your DVD. And by the way, I didn't know it was on Netflix. They're showing it on Netflix, so you can go down and download it on Netflix and see it. And then there's something else out there. Marco, do we have something on the line? Is somebody going talking or what?
Hey, Mitch. Mitch. Mitch, wait. Mitch. Can you push your star six? Push your star six.
Star six?
Yes. There we go.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you, buddy. Mitch didn't mean to.
No.
Except when there's a couple of conversations going, it's kind of hard for people to hear what's going on. I don't know if we talked about Megan Barone, but she saw our stuff up there in Harbor, Washington, and says, thank you so much, and she's the one that did it on Netflix. And I guess we're out on Netflix, ladies and gentlemen, and you can do it there on Amazon.com also, and it's just a mere pittance. Steve Pickett in Indiana. Hey, buddy. Thank you for the call. John Thistle, Norwood, Massachusetts. Another guy. Thanks for the beautiful, kind words on my DVD. We just got a rash of these things. Ronnie Allen, Fairfield, Ohio. Thank you for the DVD order, Ronnie. Andrew Lynn, Flushing, New York. What's up, my friend? Thank you for the kind words. Appreciate it. Hell of an attorney out there, ladies and gentlemen. Believes in Bigfoot. Wants to join us. James Hobbs, Pedro Woolley, Washington. Thank you for the order. Getting a rash of orders up in Washington. Carl Steiger, British Columbia, bought the movie and was impressed. Nancy Botsom, Denver, Colorado. Thank you for your order for the DVD, Nancy. Chris Carnes, Eaton Rapids, Wisconsin. Love your viewpoints, Chris. Terry Petrus, Tilslow, New York. Thanks for sharing your story about your encounter. Appreciate it much. Jennifer Petticoat, upstate New York, has a Bigfoot up in her area. She'd like to come on the show real soon and share it with us. David Moe, Gilbert, Minnesota, wants to buy the DVD and says, hey, is there a chance that us nonprofit people can get a discount? Yeah, you can. Give me your address, and I'll make sure you get a real good discount. Sharon Brown from China. Sharon, thank you so much for listening in. She listens in every week. She says she hasn't missed it for 2 years.
Part Thomas of our Beijing
Navarette.
Crowd.
What?
Part of our Beijing crowd.
I guess so. Thomas Navarette, Pasco, Louisiana. She says, Tom, I viewed your DVD, and she says, to paraphrase you, it's off the hook, brother. Well, he did. Thomas, thank you so much. I appreciate it, buddy. It's a great thing. To my girls, and I got to tell you something, I say this from the bottom of my heart, from each and every one of them, from Bo in Alabama, from Becky up in Washington, from Connie up in Canada, from Frankie in Memphis, from Susan in Minnesota, and of course to Miss Calabash, Miss Gigi herself. My love goes out to you girls. Kudos and salutations. Boy, I'll tell you. You know, when I read things like this, Marco, and I get these phone calls from people, and they tell me about how wonderful our DVD is and everything, it wrenches at my heart, son. It really does. It gets me crazy, gets me all crazied up, and I say to myself, you know, job well done. Okay? A job well done. Means a lot to me, and it should to you also. Just got a message here from Bill Green. Hey, Tom, When is Bigfoot Lives 2, the DVD, and Bigfoot 3D DVD coming along? Well, ladies and gentlemen, they're coming along great. Bigfoot 3D, just talk to the guy. He'll be out. He's got a target date of January 5th, 2011. Bigfoot 3D, 2011. Our other movie should be out somewhere in October, Bigfoot Lives 2. That's going to be an extension of Bigfoot Lives 1, and let me tell you something. Wait until you see it. It's going to knock you off your feet. It's incredible. Just totally off the chain. Well, listen, you've asked out there. Everybody says, where's Tricia? When are we going to get a chance to see the photos and everything else? Well, we've got a couple of photos, ladies and gentlemen. You might want to get up there to www.bigfootlive.com and take a look and see what Marco did. He's got the first picture that shows the size and relationship of the saguaro cactus to man. And then the picture number two shows a creature that was located to the left. Wow, and you can see the genitalia. So you may want to get up there. You've all asked.
No, Tom, I'm sorry. I wrote that for you. I'm sorry. It's the same picture where the genitalia picture is, but it's way over to the left, and it's a completely different picture that our analyst overlooked.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's amazing because what we're going to do now, without any further ado, we're going to get out there to Arizona and get our favorite gal, Trish, on the phone. Phil, Trish, you out there?
Hey, Trish, push your *7 button. Trish, push your *7 button.
Well, they say no air.
Did you push your *7 button, Trish? And it's not working? Well, I'm going to undo it now. Let's see if it works.
Bear with us, ladies and gentlemen. It's called
I'm on a separate line, Tom, that I have communications with her.
Okay. Well, it's too important. We don't want to miss her because everybody and his brother has been asking about her. And we need to see what we can do.
*7, yes.
Bear with us, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you who are just tuning in, we're trying to get our first guest, Tricia. She's in a remote area out there in Arizona. I've been out there to see her. And everybody's been asking, when are we going to get a chance to see the pictures of the genitalia of the creature and all that kind of stuff? Well, we've got something up there. Yeah.
I tell you what. What I'm going to have to do, I've got a three-way on this, and what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to hang up and redial her back in.
Mm-hmm.
While we're doing that, could we bring Louie on?
We can. We can. And, ladies and gentlemen, this proves one thing to you. I want you to understand this. This is live radio. This isn't scripted, okay? It isn't set up, so you're hearing live stuff right now. So these little problems that we go through each and every week, I just want you to bear with us and forgive us. And we're going to get her on here live on a three-way. You go ahead now. Instead, I'll go out now to talk to Louie.
Yeah, Louie, ladies and gentlemen. *7 button, Louie, please.
Hope to God Louie's still with us.
Yeah,
he's out there in Wisconsin. Louie, you out there?
Yes, sir. I'm Tom. Good to talk to you.
Hey, same here, buddy. And thank you so much, and thank your lovely bride, okay?
Excuse me.
Debbie was nice enough to email me yesterday, and I did try to get back to her two or three times, and I finally left the message, and then Marco took it from there. Main thing is you're on with us. So you actually had a sighting out in your area, huh?
Well, I sure think I did. Some people here that I tell a story to, I live in my area, think, well, it could be a large black bear, but after you see more of it, it wasn't no bear that I'm thinking of. I think it was.
Louie, what part of, are you up in the Upper Peninsula?
I am up north, right. I mean, I'm not as far up as you're thinking, but I am up north.
Okay, because we know we spent a lot of time. And ladies and gentlemen, to give you guys a footnote, if you go to searchingforbigfoot.com and go to Table of Contents, and you'll go under Wisconsin, you'll see what we're talking about. This is the area and the terrain where Louie and his wife Debbie live. You know, I don't want to take from my audience because, you know, we've had these technical difficulties here. So what I want to do, Louie, is if you'd be so kind to take everybody on a virtual tour from your mouth to their ears of everything that you encountered, when it happened, how it happened, and where we are today. Could you do that?
Sure. I'll give it a try, Tom.
All right, go ahead.
All right. It was about 10:30 at night. I was just getting off my expressway near my home and heading down a country road that's paved by us. And I turned on the brights because you're always kind of, it's dark and you're always kind of looking for deer. Hopefully you can see them before they jump out at you. But anyways, I'm heading down the road. I must have traveled about a mile, mile and a half from the expressway. And I'm talking to my daughter on my cell phone. So this helps me believe what I'm seeing after this. But so I'm going down the road, and all of a sudden I tell her I see this black, large object in the middle of my lane a little ways up. So I slow down real fast, and I'm telling my daughter, oh, my God, I think there's a big bear in the road. So all of a sudden it went into the ditch, and it came up on the land above the ditch. And it stood up, and I creeped closer and closer, and then I stopped, and my headlights are shining just on the side there of the road, and I can see this figure of this large animal. He was standing on 2 feet. He had his other two arms to his side, and to tell you the truth, I could swear, I tell my daughter, it looked just like a gorilla because it was all dark-colored, black, and the face, part of the face, there was no hair on, and it looked just like an individual with a gorilla outfit on, but and it was about 7.5 feet tall because it was standing right next to a cornfield, and it was just standing there staring at me. So I stopped there for a few seconds, and all of a sudden I thought, well, I got to get the headlights on this thing, and it wasn't moving. It was just standing there looking at me. So I backed the car up just a little bit to put it on an angle and turn towards the right to put my headlights on it, and I didn't go back far enough, so they kind of hit to the side of the animal, and it still stood there looking at me, and it must have stood there for about 5-10 more seconds, and then all of a sudden it kind of disappeared into the corn that where I thought, and I decided then that I better go because I don't know if it's coming up behind me or if it just walked off or anything. I thought, well, I'm out of here, and I just took off and came home and woke the wife up and told her this unbelievable story.
Wow. Wow. Let me ask you this, Louie.
Sure.
What was the first thing that went through your mind when you saw this thing?
Well, when it was...
Were you afraid? Were you scared? Were you inquisitive? Did you say, holy shit? You know, should I call the cops? What?
Well, I did say, holy shit, this is unbelievable. But at first, like, I thought it was a bear. And I'm thinking, oh, I got to tell the farmers around here that, hey, we have bear in around here. But then once it got up on above the ditch on the land and stood up like that, I definitely said, holy shit, this is unbelievable. And at the same time, like I said earlier, I'm still talking to my daughter on the cell phone describing everything I'm just sitting there looking at. And I told her many times, this is unbelievable, that this is the largest gorilla I've ever seen standing, and it was standing straight up. It wasn't hunched over. I saw no claws on it. It looked like a bear. It had no snoot or anything, and it had just a regular kind of flattish face, and but you could tell it wasn't hairy, just around the face area, but the rest was all dark, black, and hairy.
How long were the arms, Louie?
I would say past what it reached down past the waist. I'd say right hips. I mean, probably 4 feet long, I guess.
Really?
Right. Now, my wife.
Did the hair look long or short?
It looked more, being short.
Okay.
No,
so
my wife.
Say something about your wife.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, we couldn't go back that area Monday because I got home in the dark. But we went back Tuesday night. My wife went and she looked around there and just saw that there was paths because it's in tall grass right there, and some animal has been there. There was no footprints or claw prints or anything because the grass was too high and it was all matted down, but something's been walking there, and I drove there today with her and just to see what she was talking about, and something's been walking through there. I mean, none of the corn was broken down, you know, like I would think a bear would do if he went through the cornfield, but and there was no claw marks on any trees or whatever, but the grass was definitely matted down quite a bit.
No, that's my other line. Wow.
And
let me ask you this. Who have you talked to about this?
Well, my wife and a few coworkers and a couple of family members and a friend.
What have they said to you?
Well, they just kind of blow it off, like, oh, yeah, okay, sure. And then, but my friend around here and stuff, they think it might have been a bear. But the other people I've talked to, they kind of just think, oh, no, you didn't really see that.
Yeah, yeah. That's amazing. That's totally amazing. You know, I got to tell you something. Like I tell all of our first-timers, welcome to the world of Sasquatch, Louis, you and Debbie both. And I'll tell you what, I thank you so much for sharing your story with us, your encounter. And feel free, please, feel free, any updates that you get whatsoever.
Okay.
Feel free to contact us, let us know, and at the same point in time, we'll let our listeners out there know what's going on and what's transpiring. And I got to tell you straight up, thank you for taking a few minutes of your time, you and Debbie both, because I know you could be doing a lot better things, but at least you're sharing it with us and letting us know exactly what's going on. And you know what? We love hearing new encounters and new stories, and welcome to our world.
Right, yeah. If it wasn't for me talking to my daughter, describing this whole thing while I'm seeing it, you know, today I'd be definitely second-guessing myself and everything, but she told me exactly what I said and saw and stuff, and I just know it's true. So it couldn't be any bear or anything, like, or deer or anything else like that. So,
well, you know,
Anytime.
Listen, and thank you. Just mute yourself out. We got a lot more show ahead of us, and I don't know if you're in front of your computer. If we can get Trish on, you're going to be...
Yep, she's on.
Great. Yeah, okay. But before we... Well, thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts there, Lou. Say hello to Debbie for me, if you would, and just mute yourself out. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Lou out there. Him and his wife, Debbie, had an encounter right out there in Wisconsin just day before yesterday, and I'm proud to have him with us. And before we bring Trish, and you've all have been waiting for her to tell us about those photos, and they're up there now, go up to BigfootLiveRadioShow.com. I know sometimes his graphics isn't the greatest, but it's there. And just go in, it'll say it's in yellow. It says picture number one, how big is the saguaro cactus? And picture number two, creature found to the left of the evaluated picture of genitalia. Okay? You need to go take a look at this. We're going to be talking about it on the other side of this commercial.
Tom, we're not going to have time for the commercial. Our battery's low for Trish. She's on a cell phone. So we need to probably bring her on, and we'll do that right after.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to, another week goes without a commercial, but that's okay. You people are buying them, and that's what keeps us going. Without any further ado, let's get out there to Arizona, AZ. Trish, how are you?
Hi. Can you hear me now?
We can, loud and clear. We had some technical difficulties, didn't we, darling?
Yes, we had like three. His battery on that end and muted out, and then there's a storm out here. So
yeah. Well,
really,
it's a time of year for you guys, right? You have the torrential rains and everything?
Yeah, we get a monsoon season.
Yeah, it's monsoon season, right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I got to tell you something, okay? I'm looking at this picture right now, and the picture number one, ladies and gentlemen. Get out there to BigfootLiveRadioShow.com in yellow. You'll see my ugly mug sitting next to that good-looking guy, that Marco Bill. And if you go about, half a finger to the bottom right, you'll see it in yellow. It'll say picture one, how big is a saguaro cactus, and picture number two, creature found to the left, evaluated picture of genitalia. When you click on the saguaro one, that's a cactus, ladies and gentlemen, famous cactus in Arizona. You look at that young man, that young boy, and look at that saguaro cactus. Now, supposedly our expert says, well, that the surrounding area is not nowhere near to show what we've got here, okay? They needed something to evaluate and to gauge it with. Well, I'll be a son of a gun, Trish. I kind of agree with you. Now, how in the hell can you say that the saguaro cactus is as big as a man or a human being? How big is that kid?
Oh, small kid. Saguaro cactus is about 30 feet high, 30 to 50 feet.
30 to 50 feet. Now, the one in the picture, do you know that kid who's in there?
No, I don't. No, as a matter of fact, that came off of an encyclopedia when I do have some. I was going to send my own today, but my email and my internet won't work. It won't work here because I'm out of town. I'm in Prescott, Arizona for 3 days.
Well, let me tell you something. Prescott is a hell of a lot better than where you live because it's a lot bigger. And I've been to both of them, as you know. So
yes.
I don't know what's going on there, but listen, at least you're trying. I give you A for effort, okay? So
well, I'm
going to
try and send CDs so that the quality on it will look better and he can download some of that.
That's very fine. And by the way, say hello to your fine friend, though. I forget his name.
Joe.
Say hello to Joe for me. And by the way, I got to tell you, for my listeners who have not been filled in on this whole story, ladies and gentlemen, this is the gal that took the pictures, many, 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 many pictures, okay,
yeah,
of the wildlife and terrain, and all of a sudden she had gone and zoomed in and she found not one Bigfoot, not two, but possibly a family, and she found the actual genitalia. And I got to tell you, I was hoping that you were going to put that on the radio on our website today, but I guess not. So maybe we can go to picture number two now, and you can explain to us exactly what we've got. How's that? I know, ladies and gentlemen, you might need to go out to this and look at it. And it's circled. Okay? Now, I'm looking at arms and a body, a torso, and I'm looking at a head. Is there anything I'm missing?
Well, actually, that one was found by Marco Bill.
Yes, I know.
He's the one who found that in the photo. I've got photos coming out my ears right now. You were talking about bears. I've got photos with bears and Bigfoot and a lizard man. And, I mean, it's just nuts. And I know it doesn't sound like it's real, but I swear to you, I have those. I was up in Payson and got pictures and two different sites for this Bigfoot. And I wanted to try and download some, but we're having a problem with me getting my photo to Marco Bill and having it enlarged because it's not coming out real clear. And it looks much clearer when it's on a CD. So what I'm going to try and do is have it that way so he can go ahead and post them because I want everybody to see it. And every landscape that I have gone in and thought there was no Bigfoot, I am finding Bigfoot.
Let me ask you this, Trish. Why is it, do you think they just follow you around the country or is it just you that has the ability to do this, that kind
you
of stuff?
You know what?
And
I really
dear, please, let me finish.
Okay.
I know you're excited, and so am I, okay?
But
the thing that just blows my mind, no matter where you go, what city you're in, and whenever you start clicking on that camera, my gosh, you get these wonderful pictures. Now, do you think that you've been blessed? Do you think that you were the one to bring this out to the world? Share this with me, would you?
Well, I don't.
You're the chosen one. I want to be with you. I want to stop what I'm doing, and I want to come out there, and I want to be with you for the rest of my life.
Well, I actually, honest, it's true. You know how everybody wears camo outfits? I wear white pants, white tennis shoes, and a pink blouse or a yellow blouse. And my camera makes noise when I take the photo. And yet I have a photo with a Bigfoot not 20 or 30 feet away from me. I don't see it when I take the photo. I'm photographing something else. But I know this sounds crazy and most people don't believe in UFOs, but I also have pictures of UFOs. And it's strange. It just happens to be around me for some reason. And these things of the Bigfoot, I promise you, if you saw all the photos that I've got with Bigfoot, now I've got a bear. You were talking about bears.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a bear real far away, but it's kind of scary when you think that here they are looking at you and you don't see them. And the Bigfoot is right there looking at me too. So I think it's just that they know that I'm a woman, so they're not so afraid. I'm normally alone when I take the photo. I think that has to do with it too. Plus, I'm very, very far away. I have a 12-time zoom on my camera, and I'm taking them sometimes across a ravine or just taking it of landscape. And because I'm doing that, I'm not that close. And I don't think they know what I'm doing.
Yeah, but in every city and every location, wherever you go?
Oh, no, no, it's not every city. The two locations are fairly close to each other out in the middle of the Sonoran Desert, the first two locations where I've got them. And the second part, I went up to Payson because I knew that up in Payson, you guys have, I think Alex Hearn is up there?
Yeah.
And doing something with Bigfoot. So I went up there, actually, to see Travis Walton's place where they supposedly landed. Anyway, I took photos up there, and it ended up where I got bears. And then one of the photos, which I would love for you to see, well, two of the photos, I've got like a backpack made, and it's on the ground, and it's made out of like a canvas color or something, but then there's twigs holding it up, or, you know, branches.
Uh-huh.
I've got scat. I've got things that look really weird. One scat looks like it's got a finger in it. And I've got another one that was so smelly and like hair, but a purplish blue. And it was up in Payson. Now, in Payson, from far away, I have something that looks like a Bigfoot running along the side of the car. Then I have something when I stopped right after that in the car. I have something from real far away. It's almost like a shapeshifter. That's what's so weird. I think your listeners would love to look at these. Because one minute it looks like a bear, and the next minute, if you look to the side, there's a person's face that looks like a lizard. Behind that, there's one with a white face with a hood. And I've got four different photos of that white face. So I'm just getting these strange, odd things, and I have no idea why. I promise you, I have no idea why. Never posted any of my UFO photos on the internet. Nobody's ever seen any of my photos, and yet I must have 100,000 photos because I just keep taking photos.
Well,
so I guess my odds are there should be something in one or two of them.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I marvel at what you do. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I met this woman, okay? I stopped what I was doing when I was down in Las Vegas, and I went out there to meet her, Tom Stansbury and myself. And she's real, okay? She is the real deal. You know, there's a lot of kooks out there, a lot of people that are in the fantasy world. And please don't take this wrong. I'm not talking about you, honey. But the truth, it's reality, and we all have to face that now and then, okay? But what she's got, it's there. I just wish to God that she would give Bill and I the permission to put the one that shows the genitalia on the website, and you look at it yourself. You know, the expert looked at it, and when he first saw it, blew his mind. But
we lost Tricia, Tom.
We lost Tricia. Okay.
Yeah, battery.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. You know, this goes on every week. I wish we can go. I you know what? For every week that we don't have technical difficulty,
no,
I'm
this isn't
send,
a technical
I'm send
difficulty.
An apple
this,
to you.
This is a battery on a cell phone.
Okay, well, maybe we need to inform them to charge their batteries. What do you think?
Well, she's in a different place where she's normally not. She's in prison.
I know. Been there many times. Well, listen, that's okay. We've got to get into our next guest anyway. And can we go to commercial, you think, maybe?
Well, sure.
Well, thanks, Marco. Great. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other side of commercial, we got AZ Arizona with us. We got Mitch Waite and Alex Hearn. So stay tuned. Let's go pay some bills, Marco.
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams. Break in day, we'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is not like
anything else. They just were too realistic to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody trying to manufacture
this. The hand was freaking
out. Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives.
Tom, we're back again.
Hey, thanks, Marco. And ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, I don't want to sound redundant. If you've not seen Bigfoot Lives, get it. You need to see the reality, the real deal documentary that tells it all in real time. Bigfoot Lives. You can get it on Bigfoot, searchingforbigfoot.com. You can go to Amazon.com. You can go to filmbaby.com. Netflix, you can see it all over the place, okay? I'm telling you, if you're new to the Bigfoot world, or if you're a journeyman, if you've been around a long time and you haven't had a chance to see it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when you do. And thank you for it in advance. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. You know what? It's been an amazing feat what these guys have been doing. You know my boy out there in Arizona, Alex Hearn, and you know Mitch Waite. These guys have been doing a fantabulous job. Not fantastic, but fantabulous job, okay? We've got these YouTube videos on. You need to go to BigfootLive.com, and you'll see what I'm talking about. There's three videos that they have. The first one is they found a nesting mound. The second one is a bedding nest. And then the third one, Bigfoot Hunters Blind for the Elk. Might as well take a look at this. You need to get up there and take a look, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, we've got our own, my son, my boy out there, Alex. I'm just looking at him right now. I'm just amazed to see these petroglyphs up there at Larry's Cabin, ladies and gentlemen. You need to take a look at these also. And, by the way, look at that big spider also. Without any further ado, let's get out to Arizona. We're staying out there anyway, I guess. Let's get Mitch Waite and Alex Hearn. You guys out there?
Hi, Paul.
How you doing, son?
Not bad. Not bad at all. Star 7, Mitch, if you're trying to unmute.
Mitch Waite's here.
Hey, Mitch.
Mitch, you out there?
Yeah, Mitch is here.
Hey, Mitch. Thanks so much for joining us again. I'm in awe, I have to tell you, on these things that you posted with YouTube. You know, there's three links, 1, 2, and 3. The first one, I talked about it on YouTube. It's where you guys found the nesting mound. Number two, the bedding nest. Number three, the Bigfoot hunters, the blind for the elk. Let's take it one at a time. Now, first of all, who are all these people with these red T-shirts? Is that your organization's insignia?
Well, believe it or not, those are mostly my family.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
we're almost
got them all dedicated, don't you?
Yes, I do.
That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. So let me ask you this: What was going on? Don't leave anything out. Start from the beginning to the end, and tell our listeners out there exactly from link one. YouTube, link 2, and link 3. Let's start with link 1, where you found the nesting mound, okay?
Okay. That's the, we call it a pine needle igloo, because it was about 12 feet long, 5 feet high, and about 6 feet wide, made out of needle, pine cones, and limbs, and it had an entrance at one end. I was able to climb up inside of it with my infrared camera and photograph the insides. But when I got inside, I could tell that I wasn't alone. There was something else in there with me. So I had to back out real quick. I don't know if it was a skunk or just what it was, but it would have been a smaller creature. So we backed out and we put cameras on the mound and left the area, and hopefully whatever woods would come out of the mound and we'd get a photo of what it was. Well, I just got back from retrieving those cameras, and what I got was a bunch of long, thin fingers grabbing at my camera, and my camera ended up looking in a totally different direction.
Were they human?
So, no.
They have hair on them.
Yes, they had hair on them, long and thin. It looked like the hands that I photographed before, which we figured out would be about 11 inches from the butt of the palm to the tip of the finger.
Wow.
So, the big hand.
Okay. So let's go to link two, bedding nest.
Yes, that one we were scouting the area since we had so many people with us. We kind of just spread out from inside of each other and combed through this area since there had been so much foot traffic and so much activity. And that's when we ran across it's a coffin-shaped hole, and it's basically deep enough for you to lay in and be totally out of sight. And there was two piles of dirt next to it. Now, none of this was dug by shovel. There were broken sticks around, and the gouges in the dirt looked like stick marks instead of shovel marks. So whoever dug it, that worked at it pretty hard. My son actually did lay down in it to model it, and it fit him pretty good.
Okay. So let's go to link number three. It's on the YouTube for two of the Bigfoot hunters and the blind with the elk.
Right. Now, this was originally located about the beginning of February. We first assumed it was a nest of some sort, and it was under a pushed-over pine tree. The root ball was kind of up in the air, but underneath that root ball, it had been cleaned out and a hole dug, and then branches piled in on top of it to cover the entrance. And we visited that several times, and what we noticed is there would be elk prints coming in to that particular area and then scatter as soon as they get to that point where the root ball was. So I put some cameras on that, and that's when I got the photos of the elk walking up and sticking his nose in the hunter's blind. And of course my camera timed out just as the time this was happening, so I didn't get to see what happened to that elk. But it's pretty exciting anyway.
No, I got to tell you a story. I don't know how much you know about elk. In my education, it's slim, but the education I've gotten in the past sticks with me and will for life. And you know about when they're in the mating season, what happens with those things. But they are brazing as hell, and they'll attack you like you will not believe.
Yeah. Well,
incredible thing. You know, marvel at what you do. I said it at the top of this piece. It just blows my mind how the stamina that you've got, you keep on keeping on, and I can't wait really to meet you. And we're going to think it's just on you. We're ready to go on our reality show. I talked to them today. I told them about the work that's being done out there by you and Alex and the others, and I have a feeling that we're going to be coming out there. I just want to get a chance to see you live. Thank you for yourself, Tom Biscardi. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. But don't go nowhere. We're going to talk to Alex now about these exciting pictures that he had taken on his little trip up there to Seligman with Larry. Yes, son, tell us the story.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Well.
We had a great time this weekend. I was there with Larry and Wayne. Both of them were asking about you, of course. I didn't have a good question this weekend, so I didn't try any calling.
The one time I tried to call, someone tried to call me was Father Ray, and I couldn't talk to him. We tried 3 or 4 times, and it was useless. So I didn't bother calling anybody. We had weather all week, and, you know, it's kind of funny. It's 105 down here, and up there, Larry's got 60, 70 degrees and rain, torrential downpours. So we got kind of lucky. We planned on fixing the roof at the cabin for this winter's, you know, Bigfoot investigation. We're not really up there looking for Bigfoot right now because we figure, you know, in the summer they're going to be pretty slow and it's still high desert. But we fixed the roof and we went for these rock drawings that Larry and I found last year. And Larry had found some more, as you can see by the photos. And while we're there, it's right in the wash. It's about a 45-minute walk from Larry's porch where you were, but the same wash. And we got the location. It looks like it's a waterfall feeds into this soft dirt area, and it fills up with water. And some of the pitches kind of imply that. And it also implies that snakes maybe come out of the rocks, but that's in the picture. In this area, we always knew it looked kind of perfect. As you can see, the dirt photos, the very last two photos of the 3 pages of photos. The soft dirt, which is not really how the rest of the terrain is up there, in this one location. And Larry and I thought for sure this thing would have water in it. We got pictures of water in the rocks on the way there. It poured for a day and a half right before I got there. But when we got there, the pool was dry. The ground was soft from the rainfall. And, you know, we looked at all the petroglyphs and the photo rock drawings, and I could see off in the distance the disturbance in that smooth dirt. And it's Larry's area, so I let him go over there first. And he's kind of doing the hunter thing. He's not really looking far ahead of him. He's looking directly in front of him for any little disturbance in the dirt. And I kind of glanced these prints first and saw him from far away. When he looked like he was going to walk on top of him, I stopped him and I said, "Hey, Larry, what's that?" And we got 2 pretty good prints in that soft dirt before whatever it was walked into the harder dirt and rocks and didn't leave no prints. And as you can see, it's not a perfect print, but we weren't making hardly any indentations in that dirt. So whatever left these prints, and it don't look like a bear track, it don't look like a cat track, it's something pretty heavy. And which was really surprising, because even after this, Larry's like, "I don't think the creature's here now." And then you'd see him think about the prints we both got. He got some good photos of them, too. So this location may be due to the increased precipitation and lower temperatures, warmer temperatures through the winter and lower temperatures this spring, and due to a recent pretty good-sized fire in Williams, might be having a little activity right now, which was really, really a big surprise.
1 minute, Tom.
Okay. Well, listen, I love the work you guys are doing. Keep it up. You know what's going on with us right now, son. And I'm busy as a one-armed paper hanger, wallpaper hanger. And between that and I'm on the road at the same time. I want to put the word out to everybody. Facebook. Go to Facebook. Become a member of our team, a member of our family, a member of our group. Go to searchingforbigfoot.com on Facebook, ladies and gentlemen. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your thoughts. Because I think within the next 2 weeks or so, we're going to have a lot of big things happening and announcements that's going to be made on Facebook. To all my guests, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. To Mitch Waite, to Alex Hearn, to Louie and Debbie, to Tricia, to Jody Get Better, to people who I haven't mentioned, God bless you. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day, we'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is not
like everything else. They just were too realistic to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody turned around.
The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives.
Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. What brought them together? Reason for the facts.